Ask the Podcast Coach for May 16th, 2015.
Let's get ready to podcast.
Oh, yeah. It's nice to be back in the chair. Welcome to Ask the Podcast Coach, where you get your podcast questions answered live. I am Dave Jackson from the School of Podcasting.com. After spending a week on assignment, glad to be back in the chair. Thanks to the one and only, the masterful, the wizard of podcasting. How's that one? I'm trying to think of something new. The one, wow. The only, Jim.
You better be careful. You're making me sound a little too impressive.
Jim Cullison from theaverageguy.tv. Jim, buddy, how's it going?
It's good. Thanks for having me back on. Always good Saturday mornings to get together and answer your questions live. Enjoyed doing it. Kind of running we'll talk a little bit maybe in the show a little bit later. I used a whole different set of technology to run Ask the Podcast Coach this week, and just a lot of fun to kind of be the host and bring you in remote,
yeah,
on assignment. That was fun too. So it was a good show.
I was about ready to fire up the laptop again.
We should say thanks to Mike Howard.
Yeah.
For coming out and being a part of. He's in the chat room today, and he's a great guest to have on, a great guest host. He's got a great podcast. And so if you're interested in what Mike does, head over to JPEG to Raw, JPEG, the number 2, Raw, RAW.com.
And our apologies for being slightly tardy today. This would be the last week we have to say this. If you're a regular listener to the show, you know Dave's computer is just whacked, basically. And it's a little weird, and tried Google Chrome, couldn't get the broadcast. I have something wrong where there's just something whacked. I need to whack this machine and just reload the software. And the good news is sitting right behind me is a brand new Dell. But I have I talked about number one priorities a couple weeks ago, and my number one priority right now is getting the virtual ticket to the New Media Expo finished. And so I just got up this morning, was just hammering through those things. It sounds like it wouldn't be that hard. It's just cutting and pasting the sessions. But I'm amazed, A, that we went around and hit start at the beginning of the day and just let them go. And A, there's a lot of people that, A, didn't get introduced. You were supposed to get introduced. And if you didn't get introduced, I don't know, here's a novel idea. Maybe introduce yourself. So I have to listen to an episode or a session and figure out who this is. So I can then tag that it's so-and-so and so-and-so. I just listened to one that I was like, really? That it was a blogger, and the presenter decided that apparently it was a smaller group. So she went off the stage and talked down amongst them, you know, about, I don't know, probably 10 to 12 feet away from a microphone.
Oh, yeah. I'd like to get closer to the audience.
Yeah. And I was like, okay, I get the sentiment, understand the sentiment. I'm like, that's not going to make for a very good recording.
No.
So that was kind of interesting. But
get on the microphone. I don't care how much you don't like microphones. If you're going to go to a conference and speak, grab the microphone, right? There's lots of things going on there, like the recording that you need to know. It's just one of those things. I get it. We do this all the time with people in public, and you hand them a microphone and like, oh no, I don't want to. I'm like, no, there's callers listening. You know, we'll have people calling on a conference call. There's callers listening. You need to, we're not trying to make your voice big. We're just trying to make it so people can hear you. So grab the microphone.
Yeah. So, and just little things like, you know, in some cases, and it's easy to forget to do this, but as a speaker, if somebody doesn't go to the microphone, to repeat the question so that it hits the, you know, so you hear this, right. And then they answer, and you're like, what was the question? So it's fun cleaning that up.
The question.
Yeah. It's just taking longer than, a lot longer than expected. And I've got a meeting today with Rick Calvert from, New Media Expo, and I'm sure that's going to be his question. Is like, where the heck are the files? So, because the silly me, I got back from New Media Expo and was kind of like, and then I got sick. So I should have just kept on rolling. And then I've been traveling all over the place. In fact, if you're in Michigan, next week I will be in Troy, Michigan, and Ryan Parker and I are looking to have maybe a little meetup. If you're in that area, we haven't picked a spot yet, but if you go to facebook.com/School of Podcasting, you can see that. Also, Jim, I should let you know, I have no chat today. I'm going chatless just because my computer.
Oh, you're going. All right.
So I'll
represent the chat room.
You got to represent the chat.
But,
So it was fun. It was weird being not on the show, you know, 10:30 rolled around and I was like, all right, And I was listening to Dustin Hartzler and learned some good stuff. I definitely know it's on the list, like priority number 15, get to know more about Facebook ads, because it looks like a really, you know, if you've got a little bit of budget to spend, you can get insanely targeted on, you know, promoting your show that way. Or in my case, promoting the School of Podcasting and things like that. So it might be something I look into. We probably should mention
Twitter ads as well. Yeah. How do people call in again?
Yeah. That number is 347-850-8007. Again, 347-850-8007. And we have open phone lines, of course. And I was laughing because I got to hear last week's episode. It's not posted yet, but I was laughing because you hit the wrong button. I'm like, yes! I'm not the only
person. Well, it wasn't a matter of not hitting the right button. It was a matter of not hitting the button after stopping. Yeah. I had them all queued up in a loop. It's fun. I don't use sound effects on my shows ever. I mean, that's just something I've never gotten into. And so last week I ran with yours. And it's kind of fun. I'll have to admit it was fun to do that. During the program last week, Mike Howard's PC that he was using smoked his power supply. I mean, it just right in the middle of the show, woof, it went, and away he went. And I lost him for 2 minutes, so I just kept talking. I'm like, well, I don't know really what's going on. We'll just kind of keep going. And he, fortunately, another good reason, if you're going to do live podcasting, to have a second PC handy, is he was able to fire up the second one, join the Hangout, get in. It wasn't, you know, the different camera angle, you know, some different things, but he was able to quickly join back in. So when you're podcasting live and things go wrong, just roll with it, right? It's just things lock up, things happen. It's not a big deal. You just keep rolling. Two, it's always nice to have some extra equipment around, kind of as a backup. I dropped a whole glass of water on my Alisa Multimix 8 and just, it's done, right? I dried it out. I tried using it one time. I get all kinds of crackles. Mixers and water don't get along, and I need sippy cup lids on everything I drink down here. But, so for the show, we ran it off an audio box USB, a PreSonus audio box, you know, those $99 USB interface. And they actually voice meter. They have a little application called voice meter. I don't know if you've ever used that before, but it is a virtual mixer that works with the audio box, not audio vox. That's those two. This is B with a B, AUDIOBOX from PreSonus. And voice meter plugs right in, and you install a virtual audio cable that they provide for you. No charge for any of this beyond buying the box. And I was actually able to do a virtual mix minus to bring that music in on this PC and run it out through the Hangout. So while I like it, I get a little crackling sound on it. The PC doesn't handle it really well. And so I'm not going to keep it long term. I've got a Mackie Pro FX 8 coming to replace the Alesis. And so I'll go back. I like to turn knobs and dials and stuff like that. That's just my preference. But so we ran the show off the audio box last week. It looks like we have a caller.
I was going to say, and it's only appropriate that here again, we're testing things out on the air. That's what we do here.
Oh, yeah. The first time I did it, I just was like, well, Mike Howard helped me test it. So we tested it Friday night. And, you know, so we spent hours testing it. But, yeah, brand new solution right on the air.
Awesome. Well, ending in 159, you're on with Dave and Jim. What's your name and what's your question? That would be you. Ending in 3159. Maybe I messed it up only giving them three numbers. You're on with Dave and Jim. I did test this earlier. Remember, I always have to jiggle the cord. I am jiggling the cord.
Sometimes they're muted. Maybe they've muted themselves.
Yeah.
Sometimes it happens. Check your mute if you're calling in through Skype.
So let me
keep talking. We can't hear you. Maybe Dave's got you muted somewhere or turned down.
No.
Just keep talking. Are you there yet? Are we there yet?
Is the caller there? I mean, I'm going to hit a button here just for giggles.
Okay.
To make sure we are getting audio. We're not getting audio.
While you're setting that up, you know, I ran the Blog Talk radio interface here and just dialed in with your account last week and found it, man, really, really easy to use.
Isn't it?
It is. Yeah. I mean, it's dynamite. A couple of people had asked how much. It's $40 right now if you want to use that. It's a little pricey for just a phone interface from that standpoint. But Super easy to use. Again, I use that kind of a virtual keyboard.
Okay. So I hear that. So that means we can hear the caller now.
How about now?
There we go. Now we hear
there we go.
Who knows?
Hey, Jim and Dave.
How are you?
Good. This is John Morgan.
Hey, buddy. How are you?
Real good. Other than you made me cry the other day, I'm walking around out by one of my customers' pools. Thank God nobody was there. Listening to the School of Podcasting and just tears streaming. I was like, that asshole, Dave.
You are not the first. It's really weird because what John's talking about is last Sunday, instead of recording on Saturday, I recorded on Sunday. And my mom's been gone a long time. It's a weird stat. I've been alive more without my mom than I have with her because she died when I was 24. And so in a really quick nutshell, my mom said I was neat, basically. And I said, well, this is why you should podcast, because you're neat. But in the process, really put some production value into it. And at the end of that, I'm like going, this sounds like such a downer of an episode. And, you know, it was a way, again, I always tried, if I'm going to use a personal story, it's to how does this tie into podcasting, not just what I had for breakfast. And I've had more people give me, like, that was amazing. That was just a lot of feedback on this episode. And they said, yeah, I've heard that a lot. Dave, usually you make me laugh. I was crying my eyes out. So my apologies for making everybody cry.
Hey, I've got another topic.
All right.
Mike Dell did a show, and he was talking about these mastermind guys.
Yes.
And I thought that was really gutsy. I know the guys that like to do podcasts about podcasting, like to do that cooperation, they call it.
Yeah.
But I think you guys should really choose your associates wisely.
Okay.
I don't think these guys should be held up as shining examples.
Well, like, what was so gutsy about what Mike said? I'm not sure I follow.
Well, he called the guys out.
Well, he just said, I don't like masterminds. I don't think I should have to pay for something. And there are, and he brought up Dave Ramsey. Dave Ramsey has whatever it is, the Golden Eagles or something like that, him and Dan Miller. And they just get together to help each other. And that was kind of Mike's point that, like, you know what, why don't you just get some, you know, Jim and I always talk about getting a Skype buddy and a Hangout buddy and just get somebody to, like he does with Mike Howard, just somebody to test stuff with. And if you get a bunch of people doing that, congratulations, you have a mastermind. There's really not much to them.
Right. Yeah, but the guys who were taking advantage of the new guys trying to learn how to podcast.
Oh yeah.
It's shameful.
Yeah, I had two calls this weekend. People called in wanting to start a podcast, and it was just amazing. And it's kind of where we are right now, because podcasting is getting so hot. People do research, and they're finding research from years ago that's really outdated. And, you know, one person says FeedBurner, you know, three other people say don't use FeedBurner. Somebody will say you need to spend $1,000 on a microphone. Then you got a bunch of people saying, nah, just spend about $60. And it's hard to say, you know, well, who's right? And it's kind of like, well, the answer is depends in some ways of what you're doing. But yeah, I talked to this woman yesterday, and she was just gung ho about it. And she wants to start a live podcast. And, you know, and I was like, well, hold, slow down a bit. And she was just throwing out stuff like, well, I want to upload my RSS to, I need to upload my RSS to the pod. So to the Podbean, so I can put it through FeedBurner, and then the iTunes tag will, and she just, you know, and I'm like, hold on. I said, it's cool that you've done all this research, but you need a little guidance here. You know, I'm like, cause it's cool that you've done this research, but it's really easy to just get lost in jargon. And then, you know, then you've got, you know, so many people, and I swear I'm going to start saying this on every podcast. You do not have only 8 weeks to be in new and noteworthy. It's new or noteworthy, but I believe, and you know, I'm a John Lee Dumas fan. I believe it's in his book, Podcast Launch, that he says you only have 8 weeks. I think that's where that's coming from, but that's not true. That's absolutely, you know, it might have been that way at one point. It's definitely not now. But yeah, it's kind of weird to, it drives me nuts. There's another new podcast about podcasting that has said you only have 8 weeks to be in new and noteworthy. And I politely, contacted them behind the scenes and said, hey, just for the record, that's not true. And I've heard a lot of people say, have you heard this podcast? They're promoting the 8-week myth. And I'm like, yeah, what are you going to do? I mean, I guess the good news about that, there's really no harm in that. You're not going to have somebody go, oh, crap, you know, I did all this stuff. But there are people that that really get hung up on the launch.
I was thinking that there's going to be the guys that are on the side of ethics and morals, and there's going to be the other guys. You look at what the guys at Blueberry are doing, Todd over there and Mike, and I think they're calling these guys out, and I think it needs to be done.
Well, yeah, it's go to, go to ClickBank, go to, go to any place that sells digital content and type in podcasting. Go to Amazon and see how many people have written books on podcasting. And you know, it's a free world. Go right ahead. My favorite was, for a while, I'd have to go back and look, but at davidjackson.org, I'd written a blog post about a guy that was throwing out his podcast shingle, and the guy didn't have a podcast. He came from radio. And I understand that there's similarities to using a microphone and you know, planning your show and things like that. You can definitely learn from a podcaster or from a radio guy. But on the other hand, you know, I'm not going to hire a jockey who's never ridden a horse before. I'm like, come on now, you got to have. Are you going to tell me about an RSS feed when you don't know what it is? So, yeah, it's and it's going to get worse before it gets better, you know, and a lot of people are going to get burned. You know, that's, you know, I had somebody yesterday, they were really worried about, you know, putting down the money for the school of podcasting. And I said, hey, for the record, I said, short of free, you know, I've been told that I'm the Walmart of podcasting because I'm inexpensive. I said, well, I like to help people more than profit from them. I said, now I do have two kids in college. I want to make a little money. I said, feel free, you know, to go, you know, I said, Cliff Ravenscraft's a friend of mine. He's going to charge you almost, $2,000 or $3,000 now for his show, for his A to Z course. I said, you know, Podcaster's Paradise is closed. Why? Because when he's going to open it, he's going to raise the price. That's classic marketing. It's called, number one, he built in, what's the thing where there's he built in a sense of urgency. Got to get in now before we close the doors. And then they're going to revamp it. And because they revamped it, they can say, hey, it's new and improved. And now it's more money, which is fine. If you can get the money, by all means, go for it. You know, a lot of people are going to, you know, and they're also going for a different market. A lot of those people are going for businesses, which I'll help you with your business as well. But it's, it's interesting. I've done that. The thing I think I'm going to do in the future that's a little different is when I saw the whole Audello thing and I was like, oh, this is just wrong. I think in the future, I'm going to contact those people. You know, in the past, I've said things about Podbean, and now that I've actually have a conversation with those guys, I still don't quite understand the whole putting people on their front page that's not on their show, but it's they're trying to build a directory. Well, that's the same thing Blueberry's doing, and I don't have a problem with Blueberry, so why should I have a problem with Podbean? And I think in the future, if I have a problem with somebody, if I don't understand why they're doing something, I think in the future, I'm going to reach out to them and say, let's have a conversation. Why is that? And then if I really disagree with them and think this is a bad idea, you know, then I'll talk to my audience and say, here's, you know, a new tool. Here's why I don't think it would work. Or here's something you might want to, you know, here's a consequence that you may not be aware of if you use this, as opposed to just running around screaming, the sky is falling. Try to do it a little more as a reporter than as a lot of times I operate on emotion. I'll see something and I'll be like, oh, this is crap. And that is not the time to fire up the microphone or the camera.
Well, I agree with you. I think that you're doing a better job than most.
Well, I appreciate that, my friend. So what else? What other questions?
You're not loading people up with $2,500 worth of equipment before they even find out if they like it.
Well, it's weird because, and people will misunderstand you. I mean, in my book, More Podcast Money, I say, I'm not doing this full time. I'm not. I do this basically 3 days a week, maybe four, you know. And so when I used to post my income reports and people would just look at the number and go, well, this guy's not successful. And they're thinking I'm working part time, making $1,200 a month. And I'm like, I'm only working 3 days a week. I'm like, I think that's pretty good, you know. And a lot of people judge success by money. And so I've seen some people at Amazon have said, this guy's not successful because he's not making enough money. I'm like, you obviously didn't read the book. The book says this is not about making a living from podcasting. It's the fact that what inspired the book is so many people told me, I'm waiting for a sponsor. And I'm like, there are so many other ways to benefit from a podcast than waiting for a sponsor. Because, and when I update the book, I'll state from Rob Walsh at Libsyn, only 8% of podcasters have enough downloads to actually get a national sponsor. Now, a local sponsor, if you want to get your own, you could probably do that. But, you know, to say, well, you're only successful if you get a sponsor, you're either A, you know, you were probably either the first podcaster in your genre or the best podcaster in your genre, or, and that's tough. You know, some, you know, you're talking treasure hunting, right? And you're metal detecting. Not everybody's into that. So you may never have 5,000 downloads because that's a super niche, but you might be able to get a sponsor from somebody that makes metal detectors or something like that. And there are all sorts of other ways to benefit from that. But yeah, you know, that's part of the fun of putting your information out.
A lot of guys are not even interested in making money, and a lot of them enjoy the hobby. But if they end up doing it long enough, maybe 10 years or something, like the guys at Zen and the Art of Triathlon, he just uses an iPhone to record. And he's been at it for 10 years, and he's making money now. And it's just, but he didn't do it originally to make money.
Right, exactly. I mean, if somebody buys one of those radio-controlled electric cars, those are not cheap. You know, you're looking at hundreds of dollars, and I don't see people, when you see them in the parking lot driving their car, nobody walks up to them and goes, so how much money are you making with that car? It's a hobby, and that's perfectly fine to, you know, just kick back and have fun. And I had an email from somebody this week who does a show about being a swinger. And when I mean swinger, I mean, yeah, that kind of swinging. And I said, wow, this is really interesting. And he's like, well, I thought you'd be a prude. I'm like, well, no. I said, but like, did your audience like, because I would think that would be kind of a community that may not wear a t-shirt that says, you know, I like to swing. And I said, I would think you would kind of, you know, find like-minded people. And he goes, well, yeah. And I'm like, well, that's cool, man. I'm like, that's just another classic example of that. So, yeah, there are going to be those people that want to do it as a hobby, and there are going to be those people that, you know, want to do it for their business. There's all sorts of different reasons to start a podcast. I think the thing that we have to realize that, you know, in the end, we all want to make good content. And, you know, some of my shows I do just for fun, and other shows I do to promote a business. And I don't think you're stupid if you don't want to make money. And I don't think you're evil if you do. So it's kind of, you know, we all have different motives for turning on the mic.
Well, I appreciate your philosophy on business.
Well, thank you, sir. I appreciate that. How's your podcast going?
Oh, I haven't had time to, but right now I'm doing book work as we speak. I haven't had time to do anything fun for months now.
That's always fun.
I've been buried.
Yeah. Well, that's all right. There's a light at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah. But I do enjoy listening all day.
Well, there you go. Well, awesome. Well, thanks
for calling in, John.
Thanks for calling in, John. You have a good weekend.
All right.
Take care.
All right. Bye.
So.
I think Dave, John's got a point. I did listen to Mike's podcast, and he does use a name specifically when he's talking about these masterminds, and kind of feels like, you know, they're being charged for. And you know what? You can do that if you want. If people will pay for it, I don't know if there's anything morally wrong with it.
Right.
This was Mike's opinion, and he was very clear to state that he just doesn't like it, and he can do that if you know it's. I think the point is it's all in the name, right? So if you're going to do that and you're going to charge for it, that's more like coaching probably than it is like a mastermind. But
right.
Really, at the end of the day, I don't know if it matters that much. I mean, yeah, it's just a name at the end of the day. And if people are willing to pay you or me or whoever to spend an hour or two, right, then they will, right? It's supply and demand at that point. If I have so many people contacting me, this is why I don't really charge, because I don't have so many people contacting me that it takes up so much of my time. But if I had 50 people lined up, guess how you slow down the flow?
Yeah.
You charge money, right? That's kind of why you do those things. That's why contractors bid ridiculous amounts of money for some jobs and not for others, because they don't want to do the work. And if they offer them that kind of stupid money, well, then you do the work for that kind of stupid money. So you, it's just one of those kinds of things. So I did think it was, I thought it was a good bold move on Mike's point. At the end of the day, is charging for it? Well, you know, you gotta come to your own conclusion on that thing. But it's a good. I thought it was a really good topic.
Yeah, I went over and looked at. Should we just say the person's name? I don't think he cares.
If you want to, it's your show.
He mentioned Paul Culligan, who's a friend of mine, and I went over and looked at Paul's stuff, and you know, he's not. It's not like he's getting you into a group and going, ah, gotcha. Guess what? I need $99 a month. It says right here, $99 a month. Here's what you're going to get. So, you know, if he can get it, you know, by all means, have fun with that. And, you know.
Yeah. And Mike's very clear in his podcast. This is my opinion.
Yeah.
And I don't like it. And that's fine. Right. Yeah. You know, that's with your own podcast. You can say that. And that's great. I think that's a fine position to have. So
well, exactly.
It's one of those kinds of things. And this is such a niche conversation for us podcasters, right? You know, it's such a tight, small group that we're talking about here. But anyway, so interesting conversation.
Hey, can you help me out? Because normally I would look in the chat. Dan, I cannot remember his last name. I can see his avatar. It's got a little beard and a mustache and a guy with a hat.
Yeah.
He's a member of the School of Podcasting, and it was really cool because he's using Joyride. That's the one that's like a Patreon kind of type system. And to make a long story short, in our little, I call them office hours, it's basically a little meetup that we did. He pointed out that we could not find any way to get paid in Joyride. He actually had contributors, and he again has a super niche kind of show. And he's like, yeah, he's like, I got 50 some bucks or whatever it was he goes, I just can't figure out how to get it into my wallet, you know? And, so it was interesting because I reached out to, Jeff Chang from, Joyride. I'd actually interviewed him on the show. And, I said, we have some people saying they can't get paid. And he's like, well, that's, you know, baloney, whatever. And I said, well, here's what we're doing. And, you know, tell me where the button is. And basically, in the past, you would email them and say, here's my PayPal email. Well, now it's actually in the dashboard. So it's kind of cool. We actually helped to point out something that, you know, they were maybe a little too close to the trees to realize that, hey, you know, we missed that. And so if you're using Joyride, you'll now see a button in the upper right-hand corner. You can click on that and say, I want a check. I want this, or I want PayPal. And so it was kind of fun that we got to do that. So that was some news. And speaking of that, and speaking of Podbean, I just was playing with it this morning, now has, and it's weird because it's Podbean, but it's not Podbean. They've obviously whitelisted something, some sort of crowdfunding, where again, you can say, you know, if I make X amount of money a month, I will do this, or I won't, you know, I'll take ads out, or I will, you know, whatever kind of thing. It's basically the Patreon, which is kind of weird that, you know, Patreon is now like Kleenex. Right. Everyone that comes after them now is going to be like, yeah, it's kind of a Patreon thing. So Podbean has now adjusted that. Now, the interesting thing is it's always fun when people launch new products. So, again, here's where I've reached out to them. You would think when you're talking about people's money, you think there would be details on like how much they get, how much you get. And I can't find any. And I'm like, well, that's kind of interesting. So I sent an email to them and said, hey, congratulations on launching this crowdfunding thing. Where's the details? So I will, which is kind of good because I want to see what their support's like. I've used it in the past, but I've been playing with Podbean. And so this will be a nice little test to see how their support is. And it just may be a case where they're, you know, again, they may have launched something just a little too soon and forgot to cross that T and dot that I, that maybe people are going to want to know before I go asking people to, support the show and raise money that, hey, guess what? You know, Podbean gets, you know, 20% or something. And I'm just making that up as a worst case scenario, but we don't know at this point.
Dave, as a peer host provider, how many of your rules do they comply with?
That's the thing.
Talk about that.
I have to actually talk about them now because they, you know, they don't change my name. They don't change my file name. They don't change the ID3 tag. They give me stats, they offer support, and there's a redirect. Now, what's weird is the redirect is not in the dashboard. You have to go to they have like forums and a decent ticketing system. And when you type in redirect, here it is. And you can, if you're logged in and you go to that redirect, you can put in your, you know, my RSS is going to be over there and they will actually redirect it. So I was like, well, that's all of them. And then I asked.
And a direct MP3?
So say what?
In other words, I can get a file. I can get my file name off their server's direct MP3.
Yeah, it's not the easiest thing in the world, but yeah, you can do that. They like you to put their player on it, which is fine.
Right.
If you use like Podbean's websites, they're not completely ugly. Now, here again, this is how they make money. They always want you to upgrade. It's kind of annoying that every time you log in, you will click on something and like, oh, you don't have access to this. Because right now I'm doing the $10 a month plan. And even with that, I get all the stats and things like that. But there are some things that I don't get. But it is kind of annoying that every time I turn around, there's I wish they would like hide the things I don't want. But on the other hand, that's not good marketing. They want to show me what I'm not getting. And it's you can go in and look at the episodes and you get a link. It's not, Libsyn is probably the easiest on that. Of course, Blueberry, you don't have to do that. If you're using PowerPress, you can just upload right from a thin WordPress. But SoundCloud is the worst in terms of getting a direct link to the MP3. It's an interesting interface. I'm still kind of kicking the tires on it and things like that. I'm going to use it. I'm in the midst of launching a new show based on Clamor. And just because I haven't launched a new show in a while and I'm kind of using that on the School of Podcasting. I've already tweaked it a bunch since I put out one episode, let a bunch of people listen to it. And they went, liked it, hated this, hated that, more of this. That's good. Do that. And so episode two is going to be way different than episode one. None of these are public at this point, unless you ask me and I'll tell you where you can hear it. But that's kind of cool because I can look at the stats in Podbean to see what kind of stats I'm getting. It'll be interesting. And it was a simple equation. I only have so much time. I don't have a whole lot of time to make another show. And originally it was going to be a top 50 countdown. And it took X amount of time to make a show. Well, that's too much time. So here's an easy solution. Make it a top 20 and maybe even a top 10.
I would think 10 would be good enough.
Yeah. And then
from a Clamor.
Well, because the thing that people liked about it is I know this is shocking, snarky remarks about some of them, because they're like, there's some rappers there. And I'm just so not a rapper, And so it's kind of funny listening. I mean, I always say Casper looks at me and goes, man, you're white. me adding remarks and jokes like this, more of that, insert more of you into this. Cause that's funny and entertaining. Well, that means I've got to listen to the Clamors. I've got to come up with something witty and funny, and that's just going to take more time. And I'm like, well, if I'm doing that, I cannot do that because some of them are just, again, I'm not the target audience for the little snippet, but we'll see. It's one of those things where I'm still testing it, and I'm going to do a couple more episodes and decide, okay, I actually am, kind of like we did with this show, right? This show started off as a test, and then we kind of went,
right,
let's keep doing it. So we'll see. But we should mention we do have open phone lines. If you'd like to call on in, that number is 347-850-8007. And again, 347-850-8007. And I'm almost, I did a little thing. Go ahead.
We skipped a little bit there. So when you think about advertising, you're talking about Facebook advertising a ways back. But recently I was at a tech conference and I ran into the general manager of a basically an online news site called Silicon Prairie News. And they are kind of a Midwest. They cover Nebraska, Iowa, and Kansas, a little bit of Missouri down there. And they cover the tech industry here. We kind of, this middle Midwest here has a thriving tech industry that between Omaha and Des Moines and Kansas City and we've got a lot of stuff going on. And so Silicon Prairie News. So I met the general manager. We were talking. I shared my podcast with him, and he's actually going to come on the podcast as a guest here in the next 4 or 5 weeks. But he approached me. He's like, hey, can I run an ad for your free podcast in the paper? And I'm like, yeah. And I said, I'm not really good at graphics. And he goes, well, we got one of those guys. And within a day, he sent me a banner that they had they'd put together. And I said, yeah. And he ran it. And so it just came out the other day. So if you go to siliconprairienews.com, scroll down a little bit. It's below the fold, but you scroll down. There's for the average guy.tv, Cyber Frontiers is being kind of featured, and I just thought that was a cool, I didn't pay him, he's not paying me. It was just kind of a fun sharing exercise, but you never know who you're going to run into at these, when you go to these conferences and stuff, and the kind of conversations you can strike up. And so it's kind of fun. I don't know. We'll I'll track the numbers to see, again, have him on the podcast. It's definitely a local thing, and it's kind of my gig here in the Midwest of having tech and being local and some of those kinds of things. So just don't underestimate the relationships that you make. And oftentimes these kinds of things can be swapped.
Well, and one of the things you want to do in your local paper is, you know, look if there's a person who constantly like has the tech beat, or if you're doing a show about, you know, NASCAR or knitting or whatever it is, you know, treasure hunting, where who would be reporting that, and just, you know, follow them on Twitter. And then every now and then, hey, I really liked your article on so-and-so. And just ever so politely, just every time they turn around, oh, there's that Dave Jackson guy again. Oh, and then, you know, as opposed to, hi, I'm Dave Jackson, you should write a story about me. You know, circle the drain a little bit and get them to kind of say, well, who is this person that keeps, who is this man stalking me? And then introduce yourself.
And we have done interviews at this tech conference. InfoTech is the name of it. And we have done tech kind of pro bono podcast work. We call it bonus content for the conference. By the way, great way to pitch your podcasting inside a conference is to say, hey, and I'll give you the files and you can use them as bonus content, right? Because you're in the midst of mixing these files from, you know, from New Media Expo, and they're going to go out in that feed, or they're going to go out for the folks who bought the virtual ticket. Well, make it bonus content, right? Let the conference send that your stuff out as well. And you get, you know, you can get exposure that way. So third year of the conference, and it's just starting to click right now. Like people are like recognizing us now, and they're, you know, they're like, oh, some of the guests have, this has been their second or third time that they've been interviewed, and they're looking forward to it now. And they start contacting me. Hey, I'm going to be at InfoTech. Can I, you know, will you interview me? So, and then I picked up two guests from that, two brand new guests from those 16 interviews that I did. I have two new interesting guests that I'll add to my show. So there's a lot of, I think there's a lot of benefit in that if you can, and it's, that's a local market. It's across the street from where I work. I mean, I didn't have to go to a conference. I just drove across the street. Surprisingly, it's $8 to drive across the street and park in their parking lots as opposed to parking in mine. But another alternative you might want to think about is tracking down those conferences and see if you can, you know, become bonus content for the conference. Looks like we have a call.
We actually have two. So ending in 7825, you're on with Dave and Jim. What's your name and what's your question? Oh, it would help if I...
How are you doing there, Dave and Jim?
How are you?
Oh, pretty good. Did you get that email I sent you? And I'm ready for any kind of opinion. I don't know if you opened it up and looked at it or not.
Jim, did you look at it? Here's my week. Yesterday, Thursday was teaching in Toledo. I drove home, got on the Podcasters Roundtable, should have gone home and gone to bed, but didn't. Got like an hour and a half of sleep, and then taught a class to people in the Netherlands for my day job from 3:30 in the morning to 11 o'clock Friday morning. So my weekend started at 11 a.m. on Friday. The bad news is I'd been up since 3:30, so my weekend's been a little weird. But Jim, did you get a chance to listen to it?
Yeah, Michael. So I started listening to it, and then I got into about a minute into it, and then I stopped because something came up here. I tell you what, man. If you're going to be around, you're on the road right now, right? When are you back?
Yeah. I come back. I'll be back Sunday night, Monday, somewhere in there.
Sure. Well, give me today. I'll take a listen to that audio, and then I'll give you some feedback, and we'll do that privately.
Yeah. That's no problem. Yeah, Dave, I'll tell you, every time something happens like you guys did this morning with your stuff going wrong, the same thing happened to me before this thing happened. And my internet went out. I got it straightened. I didn't set up this voicemail thing, so I couldn't get that voicemail thing. And then my regular home phone that I got set up, it wouldn't work. Then the internet went down again. And then all this, I mean, I was pulling my hair out. And then I went to, oh, I better set up another email for blah, blah, blah. Well, now all my email screwed up. I couldn't get any email in or out. I had to go into Google and kind of get my Gmail. It was like 2 hours of just pulling my hair out, you know, and I was listening to you guys, and I'm like, yeah, I've been there. I got that t-shirt, you know?
Yeah, so, I've,
but, anyway,
being somebody that teaches, you know, computers every day, I have learned to just roll with the punches. You know, I showed up this week with a laptop with Office 2013 teaching a class 2010. You know, I was just like, hey, guess what? My screen's going to look different than yours. Mine's ugly and yours isn't. So let's go. You know, you just kind of like you deal with it and keep rolling. So,
but I think with, right, Michael, with that little thing I did, I think I'm going to have to kind of like what you were doing with Brian with ProfitCast. You're saying he's really good at getting his clamor message across. He's really good at getting that. And that's one thing I think I got to work on getting my point across in that little clamor thing, you know, that little, what's it, 17 seconds or something or whatever, you know?
18, yeah. It's elevators. That's always something that there's a great book. I forget the name of it. I will send it to you later and I'll put a link in the show notes. From the guy that Michael Hyatt, runs the one, I'm just the king of this, the thing of that sounds like the maybe, but there's a book and the whole thing was start off with like, what's the main point that I want to make? And then you come up with, here's my supporting argument for, you know, why or how or things like that. And you just work your way out. And, I did that for my speech at Podcast Movement. And if you really boil it down to the one sentence that this episode is about, or this segment is about, it really gets you focused. And then you start thinking, okay, well, I started talking about this. Does this reinforce the original point, or does this add additional content to that? And, welcome to the party. It's making great content is, it's always, fun to shape and try and, you know, you get better as you go. And,
Michael, I would give you, I know you pretty well now because we've met in the local users group and stuff. And I think I can say this and not hurt your feelings. You know, you got an ADHD podcast. And so by nature, it wanders, you know, the topic could wander a little bit, right? It's that we all snicker and laugh. But I think you'll be better served early on by really writing out your thoughts and making sure that you know where you want to go so you don't go off track. Because you have when you're recording, you have a tendency to jam about three or four thoughts together in a single segment because you one thing leads to another for you, and you need a little bit of discipline in staying on point and then moving on to that next thing, and that's okay. So, you know, I might practice a little bit, and when I mean writing it out, I don't mean making a script. I just mean having an outline that you want to follow and then working hard on sticking to that so that you go one point and then the second point and then the third point. So that if I were to give you advice, which I think is what you're looking for on this, that might be a technique that you can implement to kind of help keep you on track, because you just naturally wander a little bit when you're talking. You know, you asked me one question.
Something kind of like a bullet point type thing, like 10 things I want to say and then just never get off that.
Yeah, well, you'll start a question with me and it'll be one question, but there'll be 10 in there before we get to the end. And it's like, whoa, let's handle the first one first, right? Let's stay on track, right? But and it's, we can laugh about it because, you know, it's ADHD, right? And that's maybe not a good reason to laugh, but we understand why it's why that happens. But physically writing that out might help you out.
Yeah, that's
okay.
And realize that, you know, you don't have to release everything you record. You know, you can always, record that. And, you know, it's like I said, the first episode that I'm doing for this new podcast, I'm probably not going to use the very first episode because it's a top 50 countdown. The book I was talking about is Secrets of Dynamic Communications. Prepare with focus, deliver with clarity, and speak with power. It's by Ken Davis, and it's a really great book. And it's a cool way to I use that now every time I do a presentation. Someplace like I'm speaking at Podcast Movement. So I'll be digging out that book. So awesome, Michael. Thanks so much, buddy. Okay. Have a good weekend.
All right.
Thanks for calling in, Michael.
Appreciate what you fellas do.
All right. Thank you.
We'll see you.
We should definitely give him a thanks up because he gave us a review in iTunes. So thank you for that, Michael. And ending in 6155 saying, thanks for holding. You're on with Dave and Jim. What's your name and what's your question?
You were in Toledo and you did not call me Dave Jackson.
I know. I'm sorry, buddy. Well, here's the
unbelievable.
Here's the fun part of it. I'm working. We had somebody spit out a kid 2 months before she was supposed to. So we weren't really ready to have her replacement in, and then somebody else broke their ankle, I think, or something. There's something else that we're down yet another instructor. And so they said, be sure to check your schedule a lot because things are going to be changing. So I went to dinner Wednesday with my wife, and we're sitting down watching TV, and I pull up my iPad. I'm like, oh, crap, I'm teaching in Toledo tomorrow. So I bolt out the door, and here's your hotel thing. And I'm like, I missed that email. So, yeah, I got there late, did my class, and then left because I had to get home and get back to the podcaster studio. So, and I didn't really get a lunch. I was actually going to call you because I thought we could hit Frickers again. This is the one, the only Nick Suberling folks from Podcasters Group Therapy and Inside the Jungle and SBNT.TV. So I know.
You got a moment.
I was gonna like, oh, if I say this publicly, Nick's going to be mad. So my apologies, buddy.
It's all right. I totally understand. I mean, it's a cramped day. I totally understand. I need to thank you both. First, Dave, I want to thank you for putting Ben, my son, on School of Podcasting last week. He was absolutely amazed. And the Cats in the Cradle was, dude, you should start a comedy podcast. What are you doing?
Number one, like, give us a little behind the scenes of that. Like, what's it like? How old's your son? I'm going to guess 7, maybe less.
He will be 7. Yeah, you're spot on. He will be 7 in July. So when we recorded that podcast, the first episode was on Father's Day, 2011, I believe. He was 3. And he turned 4 through the 7 episodes that we did. So he was a real young kid. He didn't say podcast. He called it a pondcast, like a pond that you swim in. And he would see me on the microphone doing my shows and wanted to be a part of it. And then, believe it or not, he actually quit on me. So once we got to episode 7, he was done. He didn't want to do it anymore.
The dreaded episode 7.
Yeah. But it wasn't me. That was all him. That's right. I wasn't going to force him. I mean, he was 4. So, but yeah, it was a fun little project and he enjoyed it. And they got a kick out of hearing it this week on SOP. So thank you for that.
Yeah. I was just, like I said, I was at your website. I'm like, what is this? And I clicked on, I'm like, oh, this is awesome.
Yeah.
So
it was a lot of fun. And I got to give Jim Collison a huge thank you as well. Jim, if you ever listen to Dave Ramsey, he does what do they call it? Debt-free scream.
Yeah.
I'm going to do my, I'm a video podcaster scream. It finally happened. And all because of Jim. Thank you, Jim. I really appreciate it.
You bet, Nick. It was fun.
Yeah, I saw on Google Plus, you've found the magic of PowerPress channels. And that does make life a whole lot easier. Where are you hosting your video
at? I had no idea. Mediafire.com. Thanks to Jim's advice.
There you go.
I did have a question about, and maybe it was just the time that I was uploading the files, Jim, but it seemed it took I'm also used to only uploading like 30 megabyte files. So now that I'm uploading a couple hundred megs, it just seemed like it took an awful long time to get uploaded. Is this a Mediafire thing, or is this just the fact that I'm, these are bigger files?
It's a bigger file and it's a Mediafire thing. They're not the fastest, they're not lightning fast speed to get that stuff up there. So usually in my workflow, when I'm doing that, I create the videos, I make a master video, I kick them out through Handbrake. That's just my workflow. You can do it any way you want. And then I drag and drop those things into the browser and just leave them. And then I go do other things while they're uploading. YouTube is the same way, by the way. If you're uploading to YouTube, man, that upload to YouTube takes a month. It's forever. So it's just it's kind of the nature of the beast. So it's one of those things that build it into your workflow early, do a whole bunch of other things while you're waiting for that to upload, grab that, then post it. So does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. It was just, I couldn't tell if it was something that was happening maybe with my bandwidth here on my end. And again, like I said, it's the first time I've uploaded massive files like that. So I'm so used to uploading 30 megs and being done.
The most common feedback I get from people when I refer them or when I say I use Mediafire and they start using them is slowness of it. That's the most common. Like, and the desktop client has some restrictions and, I use the web client. I use it for one thing, right? I just get the file there and then I go over and grab the MP3 direct link and it works. If for what I'm using it for, it works great, right? That then I always get the edge case folks who come in and they're like, well, I tried to upload 5,000 pictures and it didn't take them all. And it's like, well, it's because HTML5 has a restriction built into it on how many files you can move, you know, across the web. And so, in this use case, I think it works great. So, no, I don't think it's you. I'm pretty sure it's them. That sounds like I just broke up with you, Nick. But
No. That's really funny.
So anyway, yeah.
But thank you for your help, Jim. That was super helpful. And I'm so embarrassed that I didn't understand podcast channels. And really, it was just so easy. And I can't thank you enough for your help.
Here's my tip on that. You can go into the channel and color code it, because otherwise you will post it in the, you'll post it in the wrong spot. Like I accidentally sent a Ask the Podcast Coach, episode down the School of Podcasting. Cause for a while I hosted, you know, the RSS feed was on the School of Podcasting website. So you can go in and make it something like blue or bright yellow so you can easily see which channel is which and you don't accidentally post that in the wrong one.
Yeah, that's the hard part with channel podcasting is it adds all your channels to the post when you're going into. And so like I have three different channels in there and I have large and small video for each channel. So in the when I'm going into into the post itself, each one of those channels is listed out there. So I'm really, really careful to make sure I'm getting the right video for the right channel in the right size. And you're pasting that in because they all look the same, you know, when you're in WordPress doing those. So a little bit of a challenge there, but Nick, you're right. Channels are not difficult to understand. They're basically categories that are just a little bit, you know, the setup is exactly the same as your categories and channels are slick. I mean, I just really like them. So once I walked you through it, you're like, oh yeah, this isn't that hard. So if you're thinking about doing anything other than audio, channels are perfect for video feeds. And that's really, I think that's the recommended way to go on Blueberry for sure.
Yeah, I know.
PowerPress.
Yeah, Mike Dell has said that categories are left over from PodPress, and right. So he's kind of like, yeah, go to channels. What size video are you using? Is it you know whatever 1028 by 720? Are you doing something more geared towards the phone or?
There, I created two video streams. One for a 960 by 540. Screen size and another I think the built-in setting on Premiere Pro was just 480p, which seemed to be smaller. So those are the only two that I've really experimented with. So
because the other thing you can go ahead,
the file sizes weren't that much different, to be honest, so maybe I did something wrong.
Because what some people will do is you can go into PowerPress and give yourself the ability to turn on and off the player on a per episode basis. And so what you can do is put it in the channel box. So it's in your RSS feed, but say, don't show the player and instead put your YouTube video.
Does that sound familiar, Nick? That I think I said the exact same thing.
Yeah.
Is there like an echo here from last night?
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's the point. I mean, it's really good that way. It works well. Then you're using YouTube's bandwidth for the casual person who's coming by on the post, but your RSS folks are being pulled from, wherever your host provider is.
Awesome. Well, I mean, that was all I wanted to call in and say thanks to both of you and really love what you guys do with this show. And it's a lot of fun. You guys are the best.
Oh, well, thanks, man.
Thanks, Nick.
Have a great
talking to you. Enjoy your weekend.
Yep. We'll see you. Yep.
You bet. Dave, I'm not going to lie. I really liked talking to Nick last night. We just did a one-on-one. That was kind of the nice, you know, spent about a half an hour and I just kind of explained channels to him and he was like, oh, that's so easy. And again, we're talking about PowerPress, right? The plugin inside for podcasters, if you're not aware of it. So,
well, one of the things I like about podcasting is typically your audience, if they like you, is probably kind of like you. And I have yet to meet like, hey, Dave, I love your show. And then I'm like, oh, I hate that guy, you know, or, you know, man, that girl's an idiot. Or it's like usually people that like you are kind of like you and they're, you know, Nick and Corey and
birds of a feather, right?
Yeah. You know,
you start attracting those.
And it seems like we're all a little smart alecky and, you know,
a little snarkyism,
you know, and then you got people like Ken Blanchard that's always just making me howl laughing. So, yeah.
Mike Phillips says in the chat room, he says, Jim, there's no one like you. So, and he's probably right. I'm a little crazy from that standpoint. Mike asked a good question earlier in chat. I want to cover real quick as we're going to go a few minutes over because we started a few minutes late.
Right.
He had talked about one streaming service. So we're talking about Blog Talk Radio. We're talking about Spreaker. We're talking about Mixer. We're talking about, you know, those providers. If you were to have to pick one of those, which one would you pick? If you were on a desert island, you could only have one streaming provider, Dave, right now, which one would you pick?
Spreaker. And here's why. Yeah. Mixler is great. Love their chat, but all they do is stream. Spreaker, I can stream, and I've got an RSS feed that's, you know, custom. I can send it into iTunes. I've got download stats. I just do a little more. I don't like their chat as much, but in terms of more function, more bang for the buck, I'd have to go Spreaker. What are my other options? Mixler, Spreaker, or
Blog Talk Radio.
See,
is another one because they've got those features too, right? They'll stream and they have a chat room.
Yeah, see that's the one I was thinking. I'm like, do I need a phone? If I need a phone, you know, in about whatever 6 to 8 months, whenever they roll out that, whenever they get out of beta, you know, Blog Talk Radio. And if budget is not a concern, that's going to be a tough call there. When they come out of beta, that's going to be, you know, especially if they have a different way. Like if they have a way to say, you know, it's X amount of money just for our technology. And if you want the added, you know, because part of what you're paying is they promote you on their actual website. Right. I would love to have a package where I don't want that. I would rather go, you know, $20 a month. And I'll promote me. You know, I don't want to pay you to people on your website. I'm like, no, thank you. I don't need that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's tough. I said, I don't want to live in a world where I only get to pick one. I like to use them all. And I do use them all. Yeah. We do stream out. You can stream Mixler and Spreaker at the same time. Yep. Mixler does have, you know, you can publish the show reel, right? So you can take your live stuff and publish it. On Mixler, you know, the technology is when you're recording a Mixler thing, it's recording locally, right? It's and then when you're done, it asks you the question, do you want to push this to your show reel? And if you say yes, it'll upload it to Mixler. And then you can use that as a recorded, you know, as a recorded podcast there. It's not great to load the edited ones in. And I don't think the discovery on Mixler is as good. The quality is better. Mixler has the best audio quality, I think, out of all three across the board. Spreaker's catching up pretty fast here with that. You're right. Spreaker, though, has got really good community. Now, Rob Greenlee's over there now, so I think it's going to get even better.
Check this out.
If
you go to davidjackson.org, I did this last night when I should have been editing files for New Media Expo, but I needed a break. I looked at an episode of Ask the Podcast Coach. SoundCloud brought in 1% of the audience for that episode. Spreaker brought in 22%, and I don't promote it at all. That's just that community over there. Stitcher was something like, I forget, and I can't pull up my website or it'll.
I'd say 3 to 5% probably if based on the numbers that I look at from a Mixler standpoint.
Yeah,
we did, Dave. Yesterday, I was doing a live podcast at work, and I had some problems with YouTube, and so we ended up going audio only. I used Zoom as the video recorder, which is a great backup, by the way, if you're having trouble with YouTube or Google Hangouts. Zoom.us. We've talked about them
before. I love it,
but we went to them and I did it that way, but. Mixler by far, as we were, you know, folks jumping on Mixler. I had the Mixler player on our site, and that's everybody jumped into that one. And we've done that here too. And I think that's the preferred pre-show stuff. So Mixler kind of wins. I think wins in quality. Spreaker wins in functionality and in community from that standpoint. Blog Talk Radio, I think the verdict is still out on the changes they're making, right?
Yeah.
And so they're making an earnest run at this thing. And I think there's some, I can't believe I'm going to say this, but I think there's some exciting things coming from Blog Talk Radio that will make them better for us.
When we tested that co-host thing, that was amazing. The sound quality when you and I connected.
Yeah. right?
That was really, really cool. Yeah,
Well, and there's some Google Hangouts changes coming too. You can kind of see it if you listen carefully when we're doing these Hangouts. The quality when you are off air and the quality when you are just doing a group Hangout is getting better and better and better. And it's getting better in increments. And I think Google is testing some new algorithms, some new things with audio to get better quality. I'm fairly convinced in the next year, we're going to get really good, that studio kind of quality in just a regular Hangout. I'm pretty sure that's coming.
Nice.
And so even Google Hangouts are kind of picking, they're kind of picking up when we talk about that.
Yeah, here's the stat. 67% of our audience comes from our, you know, askthepodcastcoach.com. I'm using Libsyn for this show. Of course, get a free month of Libsyn using the coupon code SOPFREE. 22% from Spreaker, 10% from Stitcher, 1% from SoundCloud. Now, of that, it was interesting that if you break out the Spreaker, where is my stats? It's like, oh, doggone it. But like 7% of that is live. Like of the 22% of Spreaker, that audience, 7% of that is listening right now. And then the rest is, you know, 15% later. If I added YouTube to that, YouTube is actually like another 20% of the audience. And then the 52% is from the website, 22% from YouTube, 17% from Spreaker, 8% on Stitcher, and again, 0.008% on SoundCloud. So it's interesting. Yeah. I didn't think that many people were watching it on YouTube, but usually what I do is on Ask the Podcast Coach, I'll put the video on top and the audio on the bottom. And I guess if somebody's on the website, the other interesting stat is it's interesting with Stitcher. You can see how long they listened, and like 58% of the audience didn't make it all the way through. But the average listening time was like 53 minutes. So apparently that last 7 minutes, they just couldn't take. Where on YouTube, only the average watching time was 27 minutes. So the audio people were listening longer. And I think that just goes back to the fact that you can listen to the show while you're, you know, doing the dishes and mowing the lawn and things like that. Where if it's video, you probably got to go somewhere or whatever, depending on what you're doing. But so I dug through some stats just to see how that was going, and thought it was kind of interesting. 7% of the audience is live, so
yeah, it's good. It's good to know, you know, to check those from time to time. Say where it's going. I really think, and I said this in the chat room to Mike, is that I like to use them all, and you get what you pay for, and you get what you work. So if you work the channel, I think you could be very successful on SoundCloud, Dave, if you advertised it. I think any of those, and you know, what's crazy is I'm watching my numbers rise on services like Shout Engine and AudioMac, right? Two we never talk about. They don't show up on anybody's radar. They get very little promotion. They're really a music service that are embracing podcasters now. And it's just been an experiment. I've thrown it out there and I get a handful of listens out there and I tweet about them and stuff like that. But I was in that same position with Podomatic, you know, 2 years ago. I was getting nothing. And now I'm almost maxing out the free plan. I'm getting 150 to 200 listens out there on Podomatic doing nothing. So I'm like, yes, I could leave Podomatic on just sheer principle. Like, oh, it's another place to be. But you know what? 150 people are listening to me out there. Right. I plan to build those other channels to that same kind of listening, those same kind of listening numbers. You add a few of those together, you know, you string five channels that have 200 each listening to you. Guess what? You got 1,000 listeners, right?
Absolutely. I mean, so are there any kind of stats at Podomatic to show you like how that is it all?
I don't think I get them because I'm on the free plan.
That's what I figured.
I'd love
to see how that's being consumed.
It's just amazing to me. I go out there and I thought, well, maybe it was a blip, but every week it's the same thing. 150 listens, 150 listens, you know, 150 listens. And so you're like, yeah, that's exactly my thought too. Wow. Right. I was kind of shocked by it, but because I had done everything I could to not promote Podomatic. I mean, I'd dropped them off the radar. I'd stopped loading shows. I had stopped doing stuff. And I continue to rise in their stats. And I may get to a point where if I'm going to stay there, I might have to buy the next plan up to keep the list, to keep the listeners there, or at least keep some of them so I don't lose them due to the bandwidth restrictions. So,
more and more of these platforms are starting to build their own app. You know, Podbean has an app. Podcast.com
has it. has a brand new app. They just released one this week.
Yeah, so they're making their directory, and I think again that's why some of these platforms are adding, you know, other people's shows that aren't using their service to their platform, so that if, you know, somebody's on Podomatic and they want to listen to Adam Carolla, they can.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And as long as you don't mess with somebody's show, you know, that way Adam still gets to put all his advertisements in and things like that. And they don't add advertising against it that Adam gets no money for. That would be bad. I think he's okay with that. So,
yeah.
It's less bandwidth for him that he has to pay for.
Right. Right. Yeah. Well, and, you know, it is, Spreaker's had their own app. I don't like it. I'd like them to do more of a subscription type app as opposed to a discovery kind of app. And they've kind of focused on recording live. So their iPhone and Android app is kind of a jumbled mess at this point. I'm not comfortable enough to tell my listeners, oh, just go to Spreaker and you can intuitively find my podcast. That's still really, really difficult. I'm really hoping Beyond Pod comes to subscribe on Android here quickly, because that, for me, that's the easiest, best. That's the one I like. There's another one,
Dogcatcher,
and then Pocket Casts. Those would be the three I think are probably the best on Android. But for my folks, I'm going to say as soon as Beyond Pod shows up on subscribe on Android, I will say, you know, click this feed, go to Beyond Pod, choose me as the, you know, choose me, search for Call the Coach or Theme Thursday or Home Gadget Geeks and subscribe, and boom, they're in. I mean, it's set up like that. I set somebody up on Beyond Pod on Android over a Skype connection, and they were in Australia, and we did that in 2 minutes. So it's easy. You can do that on Android.
Wow. Cool.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. And with subscribe on Android coming and getting more traction, I was happy to see that they got a couple new, I think you mentioned this on the School Podcasting. I was happy to see some new entries into that. So if you're a podcaster, you should be paying attention to subscribe on Android. And that is that we all need to get that and make it work. And it needs to be about 4 button pushes to get subscribed. And because on iTunes, it's 3. Super easy.
Yeah.
Right. We've got to get an Android solution that works like iTunes.
I miss the days when it was 1. Apple, at one point, it was subscribe, boom, subscribe. And I'm like, and then they're like, no, we got to make you go to the web. And then you click there. And like, oh, thank you, Apple.
It's still pretty easy, yeah. Though. It's still pretty easy.
Yeah. Much, much easier than you used to go in and have to tell people, right click on the RSS feed, copy it, go into iTunes, go into advanced, go into subscribe. It was like trying to, you know, talk somebody from
on Android is horrible.
Yeah.
I mean, it is just awful to try and get something subscribed to on Android. I don't know how people even do it. Today I'm like, somebody's like, hey, I subscribe to you. And I'm like, can you tell me how you did it? Because it's a miracle.
Well, first we did this.
It's a miracle.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Awesome.
It's just insane. They got to stand on one foot and tap their head, rub their belly, and then subscribe on the phone somehow. Anyways.
Yeah, it's always fun. But, hey, I think we're going to wrap it up. Again, appreciate everybody putting up with our tardiness today. The bad news is I am going to be out of town next week. I'm like, So I got to nail these files and get them out of the way. Because it is going to take time to, in theory, I should be able to plug in the machine, load Chrome, and be good to go next week. I mean, I don't have to go, you know, all the recording stuff is over on the Mac at this point, and my recorder here. So hopefully we won't have that problem next week. Next week it'll be like, oh, wait, I need to install Google Voice. Oh, wait, I need to install. Wait, this isn't there. Oh, it doesn't recognize my camera.
It should go pretty fast.
And of course it has my new best friend. I'm sure I will love to death. Windows 8 is on the machine.
Listen, a Windows MVP expert, right?
Yeah.
You know one of those guys. So if you have any trouble, call them. I know how to make Windows 8.1 look like Windows 7 fairly easily.
There you go.
Yeah.
We might.
It's all, don't panic. You know an MVP.
I might be calling you. That'd be fun. So as always, Jim, where can people find you?
Average Guy. Oh, theaverageguy.tv.
Yes. You can find me at schoolofpodcasting.com. You can find, I should mention, use the coupon code ASK20 and save $20 off your first month at the School of Podcasting. And you can find us here every Saturday, askthepodcastcoach.com/live, more or less around 10:30. And give or take 5 or 10 minutes.
5 or 10 minutes.
Yeah, we'll be on time next week. So thanks so much for tuning in. And Jim, are we hanging around a little bit? I got a little bit of time.
Yeah, I'll hang around a little bit.
And as always, thanks so much for tuning in. And tuning in. We'll see you again next week. Take care.